everybody, let's worship like this.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous fame.
Sing a carol as we worship our God together. Jesenia, lead us in this. The first Noel, when shepherds lay keeping their sheep, that's when the angel appeared, saying they do not need to fear. Let's go. By light of that shining star, the wise men they thank you. praise to our God, our Lord. May the whole earth acknowledge, and with His blood us born. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel.
Sing it again, Noel.
Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel.
Lord, we worship You, we worship You. Sing like this now with me.
Worship the King of Israel.
Worship the King of Israel.
Worship the King Noel, Noel.
Worship the King Noel, Noel.
Worship the King of Israel.
Sing with me.
Silent night, holy night, and all is calm, and all is bright round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Sing silent night,
silent night, holy night, shepherds quail at the sound, glory stream.
Sing, we worship our God today.
We worship Him. We honor Him.
sing one more verse.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, He is love's pure light, radiant beams from Thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at Thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at Thy birth.
One more time, say, we worship You, Lord.
Jesus, our Lord and our King.
Thank you so much, Jacob, and our worship team. Will you pray with me before we jump into service today? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Lord, we thank You that You are light in a dark season, and we thank You that You are a God who is worthy to be praised and worthy to be trusted. And so, Lord, we invite You into this service today to remind us of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank You for who You are, and in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to welcome all of our first-time guests and visitors. We're so excited that you're with us today. A few reminders for you. Services next week. In order to celebrate Christmas, we're having services on Saturday, December 19th, and also Christmas Eve service on Thursday, December 24th. The service will be provided online and outdoors at Village Christian School. The services will be available at 4 p.m. on the 19th and 24th. And just as a reminder, we will not have services on December 26th. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website by clicking on the Give tab. Thank you so much for your generosity. And we have the joy of sharing in and celebrating baptisms today. Take a look at the following video and hear the stories of how Jesus has changed lives. And then afterward, we'll hear from Julie Boyd, our kingdom partner in Kenya, as she shares with us the sermon for today.
My name is Fernanda. I grew up believing and praying to God in my times of need, but I really began to trust Jesus Christ when He helped me through my mother's disability and the loss of my friend Jennifer. I discovered that Christ was looking out for me and placing people in my life to support me. There came a time when I no longer felt scared about what might be next, because my faith in Jesus was growing stronger. Over the years, I've seen the miracles Jesus has done in my life, the joy, hope, and guidance I found in His Word, and I am ready to take this step of baptism. With all the pleasure in the world, I declare my faith and commitment to Jesus Christ.
Fernanda, because of your faith in Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Claudia. Before I gave my life to Christ, I felt anxious, lost, depressed, and in search of peace and belonging. Then one morning during worship at CA, we all began to sing the lyrics, "Break every chain, break every chain." In that moment, I felt Jesus' Spirit telling me I didn't have to face my life on my own, bearing my pain, but that He's breaking the chains I have carried for so long and setting me free. That is when I decided to trust Jesus with everything. This has been the best decision of my life. When things get tough, I know God is with me. The chains of self-hate, doubt, and fear have been broken by the blood of Jesus. I no longer feel lost. Instead, I am confident and secure in His love for me.
Claudia, because of your faith in Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit.
I am being baptized today to take the next step in my life with Christ.
Hello, CA. It is always a privilege to be able to share with you. And even though I had hoped we'd be together this weekend, I'm grateful for this message to be able to continue to share what God is doing in this place in Kenya. Before I continue, I want to say thank you for all of the ways that you stand with us at Living Room, for the ways that you pray for us and continue to generously give that allows Living Room to thrive. Thank you for giving towards our renovation in Kipkaran, which has allowed our patients to stay in a space that's just so beautiful, and I'm really grateful. In this Advent season, it is so much waiting, there's so much aching, but there's also Jesus who came as a baby. And as we wait for Christmas, I'm grateful for just the ways that God continues to be faithful in our lives, continues to be faithful to His children. Today I'm sharing from our chapel here in Eldoret, and you were so generous to be a part of giving so that this place can exist. I'm surrounded by the words faith, hope, love, peace, and the cross of Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful for the message of Jesus, which He told us, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart because I have overcome the world. In 2020, there has been so many challenges. I don't think any of us knew or could have predicted all that was going to come with this year. But thankfully, as Eugene Peterson writes, God doesn't change. He seeks and He saves. And our response to God as He reveals Himself in Jesus doesn't change. We listen and follow, or we don't. When we are dealing with the basics, God and our need for God, we are at bedrock. We start each day at the very beginning. For most people around the globe, 2020 has been a year highlighting trials and sorrows. There's been a loss of normalcy. For some, it's been uncomfortable and inconvenient, and for others, it's been utterly devastating. I don't think it's helpful for us to compare one person's suffering to another. Each of us have had our own set of losses, and we need to grieve them. I've often gone back to the words of a song from Frozen 2 this year, like many of the parents, I'm sure, who your children also have watched. I've been struck by the words of this song. I won't look too far ahead. It's too much for me to take. But break it down to this next breath, this next step, this next choice is the one that I can take. In a world that glorifies success, I've experienced, like so many of you, a need to set aside many of my goals and plans that I had set. My calendar has looked very different than I imagined it would. But in its place, I have felt this invitation by God towards faithfulness, to be faithful to what is in front of me. And I believe that most of the opportunities for faithfulness are right in front of us. And the goal for all of our spiritual discipline is that I want to know God. As the prophet Micah writes, He has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God? I came across a quote that is in reference to this scripture, which says, do justly now, love mercy now, walk humbly now. That we're not necessarily obligated to complete the work, but neither are we free to abandon it. And I've asked myself this guiding question many times this year. What does it look like to love in this situation when schools are closed and I'm quarantined with 5 children in my house, when I'm tired and afraid, when the hospitals need new things or different things than we expected for this year and the hospices are running differently? What does it look like to love in this situation when resources feel limited and needs are so many? At Living Room, we've been talking a lot about what that looks like every second of every day. How do we learn more, listen better, love deeper? In the village where my family lives, in addition to COVID-19, there's been widespread flooding. And earlier in the year throughout Kenya, over 800,000 people were displaced from their homes. And this was during a time where there was supposed to be social distancing, people who were already living on less than a dollar a day. What does love look like in that situation? And the words of 1 John have often been ringing through my head. Do not love with words alone, but with actions and in truth. On several days, our love has looked like identifying neighbors who have food insecurity and providing maize and beans for 500 families in our community. And in our work at the hospice, to continue to provide quality care for hundreds of guests and families. Over the years, as I've stepped closer to those in their suffering, I've come to recognize the nearness of God, present in the hard places and in the pain, in the spaces where death and destruction always wants to win. Faith expressing itself as love in its purest, most sacrificial form makes room for miracles to come, but most of them are not quickly. Sometimes God's presence comes through a meal prepared and served, one bite at a time, each morsel or sip requiring untold effort, a symbol of love. Through baths given with kindness, dignity is restored. In the cleaning of wounds putrid from neglect, in the singing of hope-filled songs, even when they are impossible to feel. Through the care provided by a former patient at the hospice now choosing to give his life away in the same way that someone once did for him. My 7-year-old daughter, she woke up early one morning and I was listening to a sermon, and in the sermon they were talking about the Good Samaritan, and Ella said, "Oh, I know that story." She interrupted the talk and she said, "That's the story about the man who was beat up and robbed and left on the side of the road. And then a pastor came and saw the man but kept walking. Another person came and they saw and they kept going. But the third person, when they came along, they stopped and they used their time and they used their money and they made sure that the man was taken care of." And my husband, Titus, he said, "Well, Ella, you know, that's exactly what your mom's work is. That Living Room is about stopping to notice people that otherwise often get overlooked." And Ella said, "Yeah, I know." But for me, it was a moment to pause and to really think about what it is that Living Room's about, that I long for that to be true, that we would be about loving the people others don't always notice. In fact, the very first patient who came to Living Room after we had built the hospice was a lady named Paulina, and she was dying of AIDS. And when I met her, she was wearing a t-shirt with the Disney character of Eeyore on it. And at the bottom of the shirt, it said, "Thanks for noticing me." And I was so struck by those words. This invitation by God for us to see, for us to notice. And I wonder, what does that look like for you within your home and family, within your neighborhood, within your spheres of influence? What does it look like to love? There was another time that Ella, she had wanted to go to the hospice. She had made some mandazi, which are a Kenyan version of a donut, and she wanted to take them to the patients because she said, "I want them to know they're loved too." So we went to the hospice, and she's holding my hand, and she's got her mandazi in a container, and then she looks up at me, and she says, "Mom, I want them to know that they're loved, but I feel a little bit afraid." And I looked down at her to reassure her, and I just said, Ella, that's what being brave is. It's loving even when we're a little bit afraid. The truth is, love stretches us more than we can imagine. At times, it's costly. In the words of 1 Corinthians 13, we're all familiar with the passage, but it tells of a love that never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance, a kind of love that far exceeds my comprehension or ability, all the while graciously inviting you and me in. And it's not just about the love that we can extend, but also what we need to receive. May God also give us the grace to receive it too. Long before this COVID pandemic, Africa has often been seen or known globally for its poverty, for corruption, for disease. It's labeled as a resource-poor setting. And while there is truth in those identifiers, it's not the whole story. Kenya, and specifically the spaces where I've been so privileged to live and work, is rich in so many ways. One of those being in community. A great strength of the culture that has translated so well into our work at Living Room is that we weep with those who weep and we rejoice with those who rejoice. We have much practice in the spiritual disciplines of both celebration and lament. And I want to talk about those today. Daniel Hill writes, "We've been groomed to search for quick and easy answers to complex problems, and we rarely have the ability of crying out to God in brokenness and pain. Suffering, tragedy, oppression, and pain are everyday realities for most of the earth's citizens, and an inability to cry out and grasp for the presence of God in the midst of the suffering is a recipe for hollow spirituality." The word Kimbilio, which is the name of our hospice, means refuge in Swahili, or literally a place to run to. It's a space where we cry out to God with our grief, our disappointment, and loss. We do it collectively. And it is also a place for the depths of our joy, the sounds of our laughter and our singing, and it might surprise you. Psalm 126 says, "It seemed like a dream too good to be true when God returned Zion's exiles. We laughed, we sang, we couldn't believe our good fortune. We were the talk of the nations. God was wonderful to them. God was wonderful to us. We are one happy people. And now, God, do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives so those who planted their crops in despair will shout hurrahs at the harvest. So that those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing." Leaning on the words of Eugene Peterson from his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, he describes this passage. He says, "The person who wrote Psalm 126 and those who sang it were no strangers to the dark side of things. They carried the painful memory of exile in their bones and the scars of oppression upon their backs. They knew the deserts of the heart and the nights of weeping. They knew what it meant to sow in tears. One of the most interesting and remarkable things Christians learn is that laughter does not exclude weeping." This has absolutely been our experience at Living Room. I often refer to the quote that mourning and dancing, they don't always take turns. I recently sat with one of our caregivers, a man named Cosmos, at the hospice, and he had come to me saying that he needed to share with me about one of our guests. It was a man who is, he referred to him as Agui, which means grandfather, and he said that he'd come because he felt like this place, Kimbilio, had become his home. He said, "I am in safe hands here." And his family at first were concerned about him coming to a hospice. They thought it meant it was only a place of suffering and death, but instead they've found a place where loving care has been extended to their father. And with that, they feel so grateful that Cosmas said, now they're celebrating and they've become living rooms ambassadors. In another story, there's a woman named Lynette, and she's given permission for us to share her story. She said, my name is Lynette. Yesterday I saw the Lord and my spirit has been renewed. I came to Kimberley O 2 months ago in excruciating pain with multiple wounds. I have stage 4 breast cancer and am no longer able to walk as it has spread to my spinal cord. Since arriving here, I have stayed inside the room and the only thing I looked at was the roof and the right side of the wall. Though the staff kept wanting to wheel me outside, I didn't want to go until yesterday morning. With the continued encouragement of the caregivers, I agreed. They wheeled me outside to the veranda and my eyes were completely amazed by what I saw. Blue sky, bright shining grass, fluffy white clouds, colorful flowers, green grass, huge trees. Through the beauty, God reminded me that I am his child and he created me in his own image. My heart is overflowing with joy and gratitude. I came here with unbearable pain. My pain is now gone. I am happy and I believe Kimberley O is my place of refuge. I was even able to taste boiled maize from the Kimberley O farm. A few months ago, I couldn't have imagined living when the maize would be ready for eating. I'm so grateful to God. And when Lynette finished sharing, she asked the team of Kimberley O's caregivers to join her in singing one of their favorite hymns. They joyfully sang and danced around her hospital bed as Lynette smiled radiantly and clapped her hands. It reminds me of this hymn. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. It's in the joy and the sorrow and sharing it until we see this journey through. I was recently listening to an African-American pastor from Alabama talk about his church. And as I was listening to him speak, it really resonated within me. It felt so familiar to experiences that I've had within the Kenyan church, within our hospices. As he talked about the foundation of people's faith coming off the heels of poverty and oppression and suffering. And that when people gather at church, they come with that history. It's less about individual reflection and more about communal declaration. That we're hoping and longing for joy to come in the morning. We're waiting for the day when there will be enough. We're hoping and looking forward to the end of all the suffering, the tears, the sorrow, the death. In Kenya, when we sing songs to God, they are emotive. There are moments of lament when we cry out, pray, sing our sorrows. And there are moments of joy and celebration, ululation and dance. There is space for both the sorrow and the grief and the celebration. And there are reminders to all of us, lest we forget that God has still been good. Do you think of lament as a spiritual discipline? What about celebration? Again, the goal of all of our spiritual discipline being, I want to know God. And from that knowledge of us being his children, we learn to love ourselves and to love our neighbors. Both practices of lament and celebration require rest. We must learn to slow down, to pay attention to what God is doing within and around us, to put aside busyness, to feel the emotions, whether it be pain and sorrow or joy. Within our culture, we highly value and at times idolize comfort, convenience, and safety. If something hurts, we are quick to try and numb it, to escape it, to stay so busy that we don't have to feel the pain and the disappointment. We use all sorts of numbing agents. I don't really need to list them. We all know that we have them. In doing this, though, we not only eliminate the pain and grief we are trying to avoid, we also eliminate joy, and then we usually try to find ways to buy it. In addition to rest and slowing down, we need to remember. Within lament, that involves remembering the pain and injustices that have affected us individually and as culture. We need to listen to the experiences of others to be committed to learning about systemic injustice and the suffering of our neighbors, committed to not walking away when we find ourselves uncomfortable, committed to repentance as we become aware of the ways that we've played a part, knowingly or not, in the world's injustice, committed to grieve in order to find steps towards healing and restoration. But in the same way that remembrance is required for lament, it's also required to celebrate, to resist cynicism, to notice the moments that God has been faithful to us in ways that we can see it, as a practice of defiance against hopelessness, to reflect even in the hard all of the ways that God has been good to us, which may have nothing to do with circumstances at times. If there's ever been a year to sit in the book of Habakkuk, especially chapter 3, 2020 is it. And while I've lived in Kenya, I've often come to this passage of scripture, but I've sat in it a lot this year. And starting in verse 16, it says, "Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength." Can you imagine what this text might read if we were to write it in 2020? Even though the virus has no cure and the floods, hurricanes, fires destroyed our homes, even though our jobs were lost and we don't know what to do, even though our schools are closed and there is evidence of our brokenness all around, even though our churches, we can't gather in person and we often feel scared and all alone. So often we stop there. We remember these things to lament, and it's real and it's necessary. But we don't continue to the next verse. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. In truth, I don't know what caused him to shift from the listing, the remembering of the sorrows and the pain, to then also remembering the unchanging goodness of God that was not dependent upon the circumstance. But I'm grateful for this word because it shows us that it's possible to be overwhelmed by the goodness of God, even in the very middle of the hard. Both lament and celebration are required in our journey of knowing and loving God. Jesus demonstrated it so well when he walked on this earth. He grieved. He wept over the loss, the death of his friend, and he celebrated equally with his disciples and friends. There's so much about living in community And one of the challenges of 2020 has been trying to figure out how to do it now in creative ways as we are separated in some ways. But I believe by the Holy Spirit that we can learn, and even in this time, how to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. I'd like to close by giving you a glimpse into the stories of our guests, into the joy and the sorrow, and into the love that we get to share in Jesus' name.
In the days and weeks ahead, we expect to see the number of cases, the number of deaths, and the number of affected countries climb even higher.
The worst locust crisis in decades is ravaging East Africa, threatening the food supply for millions of people.
After days of torrential rain, flooding, and landslides, entire families here were killed. Communities surrounded by floodwaters and isolated.
Death has lost its
for being with us today online. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service or would like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, please let us know so we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address or text decision to the number 52855. And now let me close with this benediction from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. See you next week, CA.